So Rabbul Mashriqaini, he is the Lord of the two east. It means he is the Lord of the two points of the rising of the sun, which is the furthest place that any human being can think about. And also he is the Lord of the two west, the two setting points of the sun. So in other words, he is the Lord who will cause the sun to rise and the sun to set also. And this, causing the sun to rise and causing the sun to set, these are favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire world depends on the solar energy which is taken and which is gained from the sun. The sun does not rise. Imagine that the sun does not rise. There is no sun. What will the world be like? What will happen to the industries? What will happen to the factories? What will happen to animals, birds, vegetation? What will happen to this entire world? This is why it is mentioned in the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one of the signs of the hour of judgment is that one night will equal to three nights. One night will equal to three nights. People will go to bed and the sun will not rise the next day. It will continue to be darkness. And because of the length of the darkness, that no sun is rising, people will cry and people will weep and the children will scream and travelers will become scared. And they will be in trouble. They will be weeping and crying. And they will long. And all of them will fall in prostration and sajda before Allah. And they will pray to Allah to remove that from them. And lo and behold, the morning will come in. But when the morning comes in, the sun will be seen rising in the west. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that. The sun will rise in the west. So, just imagine for that 3-day period, how the world will be in. People will be in a state of misery. Do not know what to do. So isn't sending the sun a great ni'mat of Allah for the people and inhabitants of the earth? Yes. This is why he says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰ إِرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of Allah will you deny? مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزق لا يبغيان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. He allows the two oceans to meet. He allows, he let loose, he let free the two oceans يلتقيان, that they meet. Which two oceans? It doesn't refer to two different names of two oceans there. But Bahrain refers to the two different qualities of water on the face of the earth. The sweet water and the salt water. The sweet water and the salt water. He allows the two bodies of water to meet each other. He allows it to meet each other. However, they cannot mix. And that is a kudrati nishan, you will say. It is a sign of Allah's power and nothing else. That maraj al-bahrayni al-taqiyan, he allows the two bodies of water to meet. But baynahuma barzaqun, between them he has placed a barrier. La yabghiyan, they cannot mix into each other. There are two ways that these bodies of water meet. That the sweet water and the salt water come together and they meet together. What the Quran is saying, that you will see them meeting, but they cannot mix. That is the law of Allah. They cannot mix. You will see them mixing. This is how it will look to us. That you will see the two bodies of water coming together. And for us, water is water. I mean, who will go and do a test? Who will go there and look closely? No one will do that. But for the onlookers, you are seeing water. That's all you see. Allah says, no, that is not how it is. They will mix, they will meet together, but the salt water will remain salt water on its side, and the sweet water will remain sweet water on its side. It do not mix, it cannot mix. Why? Because Allah Himself has placed a barrier, which is not physical, which is not visible, but it is a barrier by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has placed. And many scientists have attested to this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this qudrat and this miracle of the water in the ocean, meeting the sweet water but not mixing.
That is one way it meets. And the other manner it meets is that, for example, a river has sweet water, but when the tide rises, the salt water will come and go over it. This is another meeting, but not mixing. It will meet that the salt water will go over it, the sweet water will remain, but they will not mix. The salt will remain on top, the sweet will remain below, and they will not mix theirs. So this is Allah's qudrat, Allah's power, a sign of His ni'mat. Maraj al-bahrain yaltaqiyan baydahuma. And in this there is great hikmat and wisdom. Some which we can understand, others we cannot understand. But for example, we know, we can look at it and see the great wisdom in Allah's qudrat and Allah's ni'mat. There are certain fishes which can only live in sweet water and cannot live in salt water. They go there, they will die. And certain fishes which can only live in salt water and cannot live in sweet water, they will die. What happens to those fishes in the rivers when the salt water mixes with them? If it is allowed to mix freely, then obviously salt is very salty. It will overpower every single thing. A little bit of salt can spoil a lot of water. If it is allowed to mix, what will happen to the sweet water fishes that people use also as risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It becomes salted, it can destroy so many things. Allah alone knows the hikmat, but we see that we reap from this ni'mat of Allah by Allah not allowing the two bodies to mix. And then human beings also get the sweet water to drink. We can't drink salt water. We drink sweet water. If this is allowed, and there is something, wherever water is on the face of the earth, and this is a cycle of water which Allah has spoken about in the Quran, wherever water is on the face of the earth, there is one complete cycle of water to and from the oceans to the land. To and from the oceans and the land. Oceans and land. The water will come, and then it will leak and seep and go back to the ocean. And it will continue like that. The Holy Quran speaks about it. From wherever they are, they meet at one point. If when the salt water meets the sweet water, it is allowed to mix, then when that water passes through the different system, it will be salty for us to drink. Because water is something that penetrates and seeps. And it can move throughout the land. It can meet in whatever rivers there are, holding the sweet water, the salt water can reach there and make this water, the body of water, salted. But Allah has prevented. Why? So that water will continue to be drinkable and pleasurable for us. And we will not find difficulties in digesting it or drinking it. Isn't that a ni'mat of Allah? Indeed. A very great ni'mat of Allah. وَلَا نُكَذِّبُ بِهِ. And we as believers do not ever deny that favor of Allah. So Allah poses the question again, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَىٰ إِرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. O human beings and jinnat, which one of the favors of Allah will you deny? So many counted one by one, which one of the favors of Allah will you deny? That just as He has created the earth and has taken out beauty from the earth for man, so too from the sea and from the ocean He has taken out gems and ornaments. He says this is one of His favor. He says, يَخْرُجُ مِنُهُمَا. From both the oceans, from the two bodies of water, comes out what? اللُؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. Pearls and corals. Allahu Akbar. Pearls and corals. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the vast ocean to exist, and these things do not come for their own selves. We dig on the face of the earth. We dig the earth. Mines are dug up. You get gold and you get silver and all these things. Treasures you find on the earth. What about the ocean out there? Allah says also there are gems. There are valuables, jewels also, out there in the oceans. So He says, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. That pearls and corals come out from the sea, from the both bodies of water. As it is mentioned, pearls also comes out from sweet water. Pearls also come out from river. And marjan, the corals, comes out from the sea. the marine life. So both of these things are used as gems and jewels by human beings. They beautify themselves, they adorn themselves. So Allah is asking, Bas, are you so namak haram that you will use from Allah's thing and you will forget about Allah? You dig up the earth, you get the gold. You make beautiful gold chain and ring and all these things. And you think yourself you're beautiful and you're handsome. But have you forgotten who made these things for you? This that you are wearing. This that you are looking at yourself and feeling so good. Have you forgotten who is the person that has made that for you? Even in the sea, the pearls and the corals. Pearls expensive. Corals expensive. Gems. Allah says, how ungrateful man that you use all these things. So he asked the question, فَبِأَيِّ أَهْلَىٰي رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ. Can you deny this favor? Which of the favors of Allah will you deny? Then Allah says, وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. And for him, for Allah, belongs the ships and the boats. الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ, sailing smoothly in the ocean. كَالْأَعْلَامِ, like mountains. This is Allah's ni'mat. This is something that makes izhar of Allah's qudrat, His power and His ability. Have we ever looked at the sailing ships? Large tons, very heavy, tall, but they are sailing smooth on the ocean. Smooth on the ocean. Very rare you will find them sinking. And they move from one country to the other country, bringing so much wealth. In fact, most of the modes of transport with respect to importations and exportation is through the ocean. The ships and all these things. We look at it. But who is responsible for that? The Quran says, وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتِ. It belongs to Allah. It is only Allah's power and Allah's qudrat that has these things, tons and tons of weight, sailing smooth as if it is not on water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the only one that causes that to occur. That even though that you can take something that is heavy and throw it in the water and it will sink, but yet here is something that is so heavy but it is not sinking. And it carries so much benefits for man. From one place to the other place. People undertake so much journeys. People transport so many things by means of the ship and the boat. Who brought about this concept of the boat and the ship? Who made it happen so that human beings may look at something and they will take a model from it and they will carry on making it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two ways we can look at Allah's qudrat and Allah's ni'mat in this. One is that in that which man has made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps it there. If He wishes, He can cause everyone to drown at any point in time. He doesn't do that. As He also says, He says, have you looked at the birds? Who keeps them up in the sky? مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. No one keeps them up flying in the sky, إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ, except Allah, the most compassionate. And we use the same analogy. Yes, the airplanes have an engine. They have wings. But after all, who keeps them up there? Who causes man to move from one country to the other country in safety, in protection? That if man were to think about the dangers that he is putting himself with, no one will undertake a journey by air or by sea. If you were to look and think that if anything goes wrong and it crashes, and it falls down, what will happen to me? And if you were to think about on the sea also, that if anything goes wrong and I cannot swim and the ship starts to sink, what's going to happen to me? Then man will not undertake a journey. But Allah causes the ship to sail smoothly, the boats to sail smoothly, and the airplanes and those things that move out there also. Lahu. This is why the Quran says, Walahu. And for Him, for Allah, because every single thing, it belongs to Allah. The power to move it, the power to steer it, the power to keep it on the surface of the water, it all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one way, that it is only through Allah's qudrat and power that it's able to move on the surface of the sea and the ocean throughout the entire world. And the other way that Allah's ni'mat is there, is that one of the first and foremost thing that was called a ship or a boat was built by Noah alayhi salam. Who instructed Noah alayhi salam to do that? Man had no knowledge. Because remember, it is the first of the generation of man. It is early in amongst human beings. It's very early in the history of human beings. Many things are not yet in the brain of human beings. So when Cain killed Abel, he did not know what he must do with the body. He did not know. It's the first time a murder occurred on the face of the earth. It's the first time someone dies on the face of the earth. What should you do? Cain was then taught by Allah what he should do with his dead brother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two raven bird. They fought with each other. The Quran says they fought with each other. And one killed the other one. And when one killed one bird, killed the other bird, this bird went, used the feet, dig up the ground, made a hole, took the other bird, throw the bird into the hole and cover it. Cain said, this is what I'm supposed to do. And he dig up the hole, which is called a grave, and he buried his brother. So people don't have knowledge of what they're supposed to do. And so too, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to send the great flood, he wanted to safeguard Noah alayhi salam. But the flood will be such that it will reach higher than the highest mountain at the time of Noah alayhi salam. So he asked Noah alayhi salam to build an ark. But Noah alayhi salam doesn't know about an ark. What does Allah say? فَاسْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You build it with our supervision and our instruction. So therefore, the boat or the ship at that time was built by how Allah inspired Noah and told Noah alayhi salam to build it. So we look at it that angle, that who is the person who really brought about, at least when there is one, then you can take a shape and model. But if there isn't any, then you can't follow. So who is the one that caused it to happen and caused it to be built and has shown mankind what they should build, how they should build? Even we take it in that angle also, the very first one of its kind was at Noah alayhi salam, and Allah has guided Noah and instructed Noah alayhi salam how to build it, and there came about the ship. So even in that manner, Allah says that is a great ni'mat of His which He has bestowed upon mankind. That, as I said, man use it for so many benefits. And it is such a great ni'mat of Allah. So Allah asks the question, فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. O human beings and jinnat, which one of the favors of Allah will you deny? In other words, why do you deny this favor of Allah that you use of it every day? You depend upon it. You depend on your transportation through it. But why do you deny it as a favor of Allah, and you do not make shukr to Allah, and you do not become grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Each and every single thing upon the face of the earth shall perish, shall be destroyed, shall come to an end. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Each and every single thing shall come to an end, shall be destroyed, except who? وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. And shall remain the countenance of your Rabb, the existence of Allah, Dhul Jalal, who is full of majesty and full of bounty, Wal Ikram, and full of honor. Now this is a different lesson now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given. That all these ni'mat that has been mentioned from the beginning of Ar-Rahman, Allama Al-Quran, Khalaqa Al-Insan, are all those favors that a man sees with his own eyes on the face of the earth. We see it. We need it. All these things Allah has counted. You need water, Allah sent it. You need the earth. Okay, you are living, there is no earth. Where can you live? You are living, there is no food to eat. How can you live? So Allah has outlined all these favors. But from here in this ayah, Allah says, but listen well. Those are the ni'mat and favors that you need and you can see. But there will come a day when this which you are seeing shall all be destroyed. There will be a new world and a new order. And after that day occurs, you will still be dependent upon the ni'mat and the favors of Allah. It is not only confined to what you see with your eyes, and you think you can get it elsewhere. So no need for Allah. Allah says, no, no, no. One day shall come that you will really need Allah's grace and mercy more than you needed on the face of the earth. More than you needed on the face of the earth. So from here Allah says, kullu man alayha, every single thing on the face of the earth, you yourself, the animals, all the beautiful things you have been seen, all the ships, the mountains, the oceans, the pearls, the corals, all the fakiha, the fruits, every single thing shall be destroyed. What will remain? Allah alone. Allah alone. No one with Him. Allah alone shall remain. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. In this statement and this ayah which Allah is saying, that every single thing shall be destroyed and He alone will remain, in this there is a great ni'mat. This is why Allah asked the question now, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? What is the ni'mat in these things? Two statements are being made here. Kullu man alayha fan. One. The other ayah. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ فِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The other ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings, the species of human being, by creating our father Adam alayhi salam. And when Adam alayhi salam was created, Adam alayhi salam was placed in Jannat. And then it is through the qadr and decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Adam made a mistake, and Allah used his committing of that mistake to come down on the face of the earth, that you have disobeyed me, now come down on the face of the earth. And Allah has sent us on the face of the earth to live for a short period of time. A short period of time. Everyone comes on the face of the earth, we serve a little purpose, we go back. And every person, a person comes, remains for 3 days, he goes back. Another person comes, he remains for 100 years, he goes back. The other one may come, may remain for 1 second and go back to Allah. This is how this world is. It is not a station of any man. It is not the destination of any man. But it is a passing through place. It is a place we pass through. We come from somewhere where we make, let's say we make a guest appearance here, but we go back where is a permanent abode. And that permanent abode might be the place where our father came from, Adam alayhi salam, which is Jannat. Or it can be a place where Allah has chosen to place the unbelievers, hell. But we ask Allah to give us Jannat al-Firdaus. That is our dua, our constant dua to Allah. So Allah has created everlasting life when we die here from this world. Then there is everlasting life. What life we have here, it is temporary. This life is not the real life. And this enjoyment is not the real enjoyment. And these pleasures are not the real pleasures. And when we die and we reflect on the face of the earth, we will realize it was nothing but a dream. This is why anytime Allah speaks about this world in the Holy Quran, He says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. This world is nothing but a play and an amusement. Like we are living today, we go to work for the whole week, and on a Sunday we go and play a little bit, but we don't play whole day and night. It comes to an end and we says, listen, back to work tomorrow, and we go. So we play, we amuse ourselves for a little while, but we get back to serious thing. So we have to get back to serious things when we die and realize it was just a little game we were having down here on the face of the earth. And then there is everlasting life. And then that is the real world that we will have to remain in. And then in that life, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. There is no living, there is no dying. In other words, death will not occur, that a person may be given life again. There is everlasting living there. Living in the pleasure of a place Allah has created, or facing the torments of the hereafter. Such a place that no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and the imagination have never occurred on the heart of any man. Everlasting life. Allahu Akbar, Allah has spoken about that place. How do we get that? How do we get that? Can a man remain alive on the face of the earth and still get Jannat? He can't. In order to get Jannat, and in order to go into the pleasures and the comfort which Allah will say to the believing souls at the time of death, فَادْخُلِي فِي جَنَّتِي فَادْخُلِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ, enter into my paradise and enter with my righteous servants. When can this believer who has lived a life only to get the pleasure of Allah in Jannah, when will he get that? How he will get that? Only through one way, by dying. There is no other way. By dying. If you don't die, you can't get it. You can't be alive and get it. No, it cannot happen. We have to die. So Allah causing people to die and destroying everyone, and everyone dies, it is a ni'mat of Allah, in that it is now, after we die, we can now get the real world Allah has promised us, which is Jannah. So this is the ni'mat of Allah mentioned in Kullu Man Alayhi Fan, as the Mufassirin have stated. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and Allah alone will remain, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, full of bounty and full of honor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of grace and Allah is full of bounty, that now when we die, it is true Allah's quality of Zul Jalal, and He is Ikram, and Allah is Kareem, then Allah will give us Jannatul Firdaus. So Allah being Sahibul Karam wal Jood, the one of full generosity, the one full of honor and bounties, is that one whom all of us depend upon, that when you and I die, Allah will forgive all our sins and Allah will send us to paradise. So Allah's countenance remaining, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, it is mentioned that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about Zul Jalali wal Ikram, and he said, "Alizu biya Zul Jalali wal Ikram." He says, make it binding upon yourself, make it binding upon yourself, that whenever you make dua, you say the words "Ya Zul Jalali wal Ikram," O the one full of bounty and the one full of honor and majesty. So it is stated also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing by a person, and the person was making dua, and in his dua he was saying, "Ya Zul Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zul Jalali wal Ikram." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Qad ustujiba laka," your dua has certainly been accepted by Allah. Your dua has certainly been accepted by Allah. Why? Because these two qualities of Allah, Zul Jalal wal Ikram, it is from these two qualities of Allah that we are able to live comfortable and with pleasure on the face of the earth. We get sustenance from Allah. That sustenance comes from the bounties of Allah. We have a healthy life. That healthy life comes from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are able to live happy in this world. We have a family life. We have children. We have wealth. We have cars. We have fields. We have so many things. All these things are from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we say, "Ya Zul Jalal wal Ikram," oh, the one full of bounties, then the one full of bounties will really extend his bounties to us. He will extend his bounties to us. This is why those words, "Ya Zul Jalali wal Ikram," these are two great qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that whenever you make dua, make it binding upon yourself that you say these words also, "Ya Zul Jalali wal Ikram." Oh, the one full of bounty, full of majesty and full of honor, because we are addressing Allah by those great qualities that He alone possesses. And then when you please Allah, then Allah will do things to please us also by extending His bounties. So these two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of bounties and honor, فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰي رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Allah says now, O men and jinn, which one of the favors of Allah will you deny? Connecting it back to that ayah, that it is true Allah's bounties you are alive today. It is true Allah's favors that you enjoy life today. How can you deny Allah's bounty in your life? How can you deny the one who is known as Zul Jalal? How can you deny the one who is known as Zul Ikram? You cannot deny that one. So فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰي رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ. Which one of the favors of Allah will you deny? يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Every single thing on the heaven, in the heavens and the earth, they ask from him. He is such Zul Jalal wal Ikram. He is such the one full of majesty and honor that there is absolutely nothing on the face of the earth or in the heavens except that they must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Every single thing in the heavens and in the earth, they ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives it to them. But Allah's treasures does not diminish. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if Allah is to give every single human being on the face of the earth 10 times as large as the world and whatever it contains, his treasure, his khazana will not decrease in the least bit. So the Quran is saying, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Each and every single thing they ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since they are asking from Allah, in what affair Allah is, Allah himself says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ. In every single day, he is in a new splendor. He is in a new affair. In every single day that passes, and every single moment, and every single second, and every single hour that passes, Allah is in a different affair. What does it mean? Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayah, and he says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ. The Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum said, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا ذَلِكَ الشَّانِ. O Messenger of Allah, what is that affair that Allah is in every day? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنْ يَغْفِرَ ذَنْبًا. That sometimes he is forgiven sins. That sometimes he is forgiven sins. وَيُفَرِّجَ كَرْبًا. And sometimes he is removing a calamity. وَيَرْفَعُ قَوْمًا. And sometimes he is giving honor to people. وَيَضَعُ آخَرِينَ. And sometimes he is humiliating others. What is the meaning of it? What is meaning? If each and every single person is asking from Allah every single day, it means Allah is in a different state of affair every day. Today he is given one sickness, tomorrow he is given one cure. Today he is destroying nation, tomorrow he is honoring nation. Today he is making people wealthy, tomorrow he is making people struck with poverty. Today he is causing drought to occur, tomorrow he is blessing the face of the earth. Each and every single day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing something for the human being. Some people are making dua to remove sickness. He will remove that one affair. Some people making dua to Allah to make us rich. He is fulfilling that. So each and every second that we pass on the face of the earth, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ. He is in a different affair every single moment. Every single moment, he is in a different state. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subjected to changes, physical changes like the human being. It means his shan. The state of affair of Allah is that every single day, every single moment, he is doing something for the servants that he has. If he is not doing this, he is doing that. So the Quran says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ. Every single day he is in a new splendor. فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰي رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you deny? Because this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see it. We see it in ourselves. That sometimes rain is not falling. And we make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, rain is not falling. We need water. Oh Allah, rain begin to fall. Then it falls so much that it doesn't stop. And the place is flooding. And we make dua the other time. Oh Allah, it is flooding. Please save us from this. So he will stop it. So in each and every single thing, thus we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And surely Allah will give it to us. So then Allah says, Why can't you recognize, O human beings and jinnat? Why can't you recognize the favors of Allah coming to you in so many different ways? Every single minute, every single second of the day. So he says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ O human beings and jinnat, which of the favors of Allah will you deny? Once upon a time, you were sick. So you ask Allah and you got better. The next time, your father was sick, not you. And you ask Allah to cure him. Allah cured him. Once upon a time, you didn't have a job. You ask Allah to give you a job. Allah gave it to you. Another time, you wanted to become successful in something. You ask from Allah. Allah gave it to you. So how is it? This is how the question is. How is it that each and every day you are asking for something and you are getting it, but you are not believing in Allah and you are not making shukrana to Allah and you are not becoming grateful to Allah? So فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which one of Allah's favors will you deny? Allah says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ We shall settle your affairs, oh, the two groups of groups of creation. أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ Thaqalan refers to jinnat and human beings. Allah says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ We shall very soon settle off your affairs, all jinnats and all human beings. فَيَأَيُّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which one of the favors of Allah will you deny? Now there is a different step of the life hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out to the hour of reckoning now. To the hour of reckoning. Where he will give an hour in which he will give to every single person their due rights of what they did on the face of the earth. سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ Oh human beings and jinnats, today you live on the face of the earth unmindful of Allah's duty. Unmindful of Allah's haqq and rights upon you. Unmindful of the rights of other people upon you. You steal, you lie, you are dishonest. And you think, boss, that is the end. Allah says, but very soon we shall settle all your affairs for you. We shall settle your affairs for you. In settling the affairs, that is a great ni'mat of Allah. Because what does settling the affairs mean? Settling the affairs means, and it refers to the day of reckoning, when we shall be reckoned for our deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of reckoning and settling the affairs means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward each and every single person in accordance to what he did. So therefore, the man who did wrong, he will see wrong. And the man who did good, he will see good in return. There will be fairness and justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how will human beings appreciate that? We'll appreciate that so much that today in this world, even if we are speaking the truth, other people frame us as liars. And we are not able to convince them that we are speaking the truth. Even though we were honest, people think we are dishonest and we cannot do anything to show them that we are honest. Even though we are not concealing anything, people believe we are concealing and we cannot do anything. And people are so unjust. And right in front of our eyes, people disobey Allah. People reject Allah. People deny Allah. They call children for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They commit crime. They commit zina. And still in our eyes, in our understanding, we might think they are seeing their way in this life. In this world, a person may have wronged you, but you have turned out to be the convicted one for that wrong which that person have done. In this world, barely you can get justice. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a sign of the hour of judgment is that justice will be sold. It will be sold. You cannot get it. But there will come a day that every single thing will be disclosed. And Allah will take this man to task. And he will say, oh, this is what you used to do to this person. Maybe he could not avenge you on the face of the earth, but today I will avenge that person. I will take revenge for that person. So it will be the justice of Allah, and the believers will feel good that today in this world, if you do something, you may not see it, but it is recorded. So if you give $1 in charity, you will say, well, who will recognize that? No one will tell you that, oh, you are generous and charitable person. But if a person does something out of name and fame, he is recognized. But yes, he has done nothing for the sake of Allah, because there is no ikhlas. But on the day of judgment, the smallest thing a person, the smallest good deed a person has done, Allah will call him in front of people, and Allah will take out the small deed, and everyone will know the person to be a very good and righteous person. For every single small thing will come out. So the believer will be happy that he is getting justice now, that he is dealt with fairly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in settling the affairs, those people who have done any harm to another person, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice will prevail to such an extent that it is stated that on the face of the earth, if a goat or a sheep with horns on its head has gored another goat, has damaged another goat, a goat which did not have horns, Allah will call both of them on the day of judgment, and Allah will say to the other goat that did not have horn, hit that person, hit the other goat as he hit you on the face of the earth. Justice will be to such an extent that it will prevail among the animals, that absolutely no one will be dealt with unjustly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call everyone on the day of judgment. He will put a person in the middle of the gathering, and then Allah will make an announcement. Anyone who has anything to take from this person, anyone who has any claims to make, anyone who has anything to fulfill from this person, if this person has been unjust, come forth and speak out. And people will come one after the other, and one will say, oh Allah, once this person cursed me. The other one will say, oh Allah, once this person committed, he backbited me. The other person will say, oh Allah, this man is owing me. The other one will say, oh Allah, this person was unfair to me. And each and every single person, Allah will put him in the middle. And then the believer will realize that yes, maybe on the face of the earth I couldn't get justice, but today I am getting my heart's contentment of justice. And that is a great ni'mat of Allah. The believer will know on that day that although I did many actions for the sake of Allah and I did not see it, but today, look, I am seeing the rewards of my good actions. So that is a great ni'mat of Allah. So Allah says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which one of the favors of Allah will you deny, O men and jinn? That when Allah will treat you people with such justice on the day of judgment, how can you deny that grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah says, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُضُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُضُوا لَا تَنْفُضُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانٍ. O human beings, O jamaat and O groups, O creation of the jinn and the men, if you have the ability to pass the zones of the heavens and the earth, فَانْفُضُوا, then go ahead and pass the zones. لَا تَنْفُضُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. You will not be able to pass the zones without authority. What does it mean? What does it refer to? The commentary that is given on this is that on the day of judgment, when everything will be open in front of people, the believer on one hand will feel happy in his heart that none of the good deeds I have done on the face of the earth will go unnoticed by Allah today, and I will be recompensated for every small good thing I have done on the face of the earth. Every single thing, the believer will feel happy about it. Not so those people who have done wrong things. Not so. Because they will feel ashamed that whatever small wrong thing they have done, it is Allah's right to pull it out in front of everyone. And they will feel scared. And even today on the face of the earth, sometimes we say something about a person and we are scared and we are frightened that if that person knows about it and he hears that we have said it. So sometimes even our language, we say, listen brother, I'm telling you, but don't tell him I said that. Because we are scared. We will not like the person to hear. And if it comes out, whatever we do, if it comes out in the open, we feel so ashamed and humiliated. If any time we have done something wrong and everyone knows about it, then we will feel shame, ashamed of it. What about on the day of judgment, when all our bad deeds will come out in the open also? And everyone will look at us. So this is why the Quran says that many people will go to other people on the Day of Judgment, when they will see them in so much trouble and they will be undergoing so much punishment from Allah. People will go to them and say, how is it that you are in this punishment? You used to tell us to do good. We accepted your words. We did good for which Allah has given us good in return. We are in Jannah. But look at you. You are in the fire. You are being punished. They will say, we told you to do good, but we ourselves did not do it. So that hadith alone shows us that yes, there are many people like that on the face of the earth. So those people will feel ashamed. They will feel ashamed that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings out all the hidden deeds that we have done, if Allah brings out all the hidden deeds that we have done, and in this world, people used to think about us as so and so, and then when they see the true signs and qualities, they will say, oh, he was like that. Everything will come in the open. Man will want to run away from the day. When they know that, you know, what I used to hide and do, it will come out. They cannot suffer that humiliation on the day. They will want to run away from the day. They will not want Allah to settle their accounts. They will want to hide. They will want to escape the Day of Judgment. They will want to escape settling the accounts. So Allah says, oh, if you think you can escape that day, well, try. Try, see if you can escape. And this is the meaning of the ayah when Allah says, Ya ma'ashara al-jinni wal-ins, O jamaat, and O group of the jinnats and human beings, In istata'atum an tanfudhu min aqtar as-samawati wal-ard, if you think you have the ability to pass the zones of the heavens and the earth, meaning that if you feel that you can escape what is coming to you, fanfudhu, you go ahead. Try. See how far you can reach. See how far you can pass that zone. La tanfuduna. Allah says, you will never be able to pass the zone. Because wherever you are, Allah's qudrat and power and ability is over you. You cannot escape that. La tanfuduna illa bi sultan. You will not be able to do it without authority. And that authority is coming from Allah. فَبِأَيِّ أَعْلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of Allah's favors will you deny? The message is for the believers also. Because on the Day of Judgment, the believers will want also to settle, for Allah to settle the accounts that they had with the unbelievers. The way they were treated today in this world. Take back our times to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bas, you have believed and a man has killed you for that. Bas, just because you believe. You have done no wrong to a person, but you are branded with hot iron rod every day. You have done no wrong to a person. You are being tied with chains and dragged all over the streets. This is why Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا نَقُمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Referring to the incident of Surah Al-Buruj, when the believers, a trench was dug, and all the believers at that time were thrown into the trench, and a fire was kindled in the trench, and all the believers were burnt alive. It happened in the past. All the believers were burnt alive. Allah says, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. They did not do any wrong thing except that they believed in Allah. So Allah is saying, what were they punished for? They were punished because they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So believers, whenever they are persecuted for believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also, like all human beings who love justice, they will want Allah to settle their accounts with the unbelievers who persecuted them on the Day of Judgment. That all those mighty people who used to laugh at the believers, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, used to laugh at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, well, you say I am going to go to hell? You say I'm going to go to the fire of Jahannam, and you say that all your followers will one day become kings and all these things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, yes, I say that, and you will be the first one to go to Jahannam. So they used to make a mockery. The believers will get their justice on the Day of Judgment, and when they are not able to escape Allah's judgment on that day, the believers will be happy on that day to know that all those who have done wrong to them, they will meet their end with Allah today. They will know that what the Prophet and the believers used to say, it was true. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hints out to this. And He says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَهِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. That second of the affairs of the unbelievers who will want to escape from justice, that is a ni'mat of Allah to who? The believers. That within, in front of your own eyes, you will see those people who have worked their entire life to kill you and out the religion of Islam. Now Allah is going to punish them and take them to task. It's a relief in your heart that your enemies are being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, which of the favors of Allah will you deny? يُرْسَلُوا عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِنْ مَارٍ وَنُحَاسٌ فَلَا تَنْتَسِرَانٍ. If they try to escape, in another tafsir, it is mentioned about the unbelievers. The unbelievers, when they are trying to escape from the fire of hell, what will happen to them? يُرْسَلُوا عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِنْ مَارٍ. Flames of the fire will be poured above their heads. They will want to escape, but they will not be able to escape. يُرْسَلُوا عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِنْ نَارٍ. Flames of the fire will be poured upon your heads. وَنُحَاسٌ, and smoke containing fire in it. فَلَا تَنْتَسِرَانِ. So they will not be helped. Both of them will not be helped, referring to jinnat and human beings. And the other tafsir is, they will not be able to help each other. That is what they will meet. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of Allah's favors will you deny? This is a ni'mat of Allah, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what will happen to people on that day. Allah is telling us what will happen to people so that you and I may not fall victims of these actions. So when we listen to what Allah is saying, what happens? What comes about? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what's going to happen, then we will try to do that which is good and refrain from the evil. So Allah's information to us is a ni'mat, that He has informed us that if you people do this, then on the day of judgment, this will be your fear. So then we do not want that to happen to us. So what is the outcome? We do not do it. So it is a benefit for us. Allah says, فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. And when the skies are blown apart, and when the skies are crushed to pieces, refers to the day of judgment, the destruction that will come upon the face of the earth. فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ. When the sky is rent asunder, it is blown to pieces. فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. And then it becomes red like ointment. Red like ointment. What will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a description that with the heat, with the powerful destruction that will come upon the face of the earth, the sun and the moon colliding, and the stars shattering to pieces, and all those heavenly bodies crushing into each other and falling apart, Allah says the sky will be destroyed also. And the destruction will bring about heat in the sky. فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً. It will become red. And because of the heat melting the object with which the sky is created with, Allah says, كَدِّهَان. It will be falling like ointment. See, ointment, when it's heated, how it falls, like the melting candle, Allah says, that is what's going to happen to the sky. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which one of the favors of Allah will you deny? In that, this is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a day will come when these things will happen. But if you take heed to the warning, then you will do some good deeds. Believe in Allah. Do not deny Allah. And thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mat will come to the person. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ. Allah says, on that day, لا يسأل عن ذنبه إنس ولا جان. On that day, the day of questioning, the day of judgment, no man or jinn will be asked and questioned about their sins. There are two different times that will come upon man on the day of judgment. One time is that when they are rising from their graves, walking towards Allah, when the day of judgment is established for questioning, It is around that time that Allah says, فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. That day no man nor jinn will be questioned about their sins. It is exactly as Allah says in another part of the Quran, هَذَا يَوْمُ لَا يَنْتِقُونَ. This is the day no one will speak. This is the day no one shall speak. وَلَا يُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ فَيَعْتَذِرُونَ. Nor will any permission be given to anyone that they shall make excuses on that day. And it refers to that time that when the hour reaches and all the graves shall burst apart and men shall be walking out from their graves, the Quran says, sliding down from their tombs towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no one will be able to speak, no one will be able to make any excuse, and no one will be asked about their sins. Why? Because of the fact that Allah says in the other ayat, يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. Because the sinners will be recognized by their marks. As the Quran says, عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَ. Black, black their faces will be. Their eyes will be yellow. The sinners, this is their plight. And they will be covered with grief and sorrow and sadness. And this is the manner they will be walking out of their graves. Black faces, yellow eyes. So when everyone looks at them, just looking at their marks, they will know that they are sinners, mujrimun. So they will not ask them, what is the case with you? Why are you like this? This is what it means. No one will ask them, because the appearance itself will tell the people what caused them to be like that. So Allah says, فَيَوْمَئِذٍ, on that day, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. On that day, the day of questioning, no jinn, no spirit, and no man shall be asked about their sins. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Because Allah's information to us about this affair of what is going to happen, it is a great ni'mat of Allah. So that لِيُرَغِّبَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So that the believers will take heed and the believers will be motivated to do good actions. That they will know in their hearts that this life is not the end of it all. Today, tomorrow we have to die. And what Allah is saying here is exactly what will come to us. So the believer will hear what Allah is saying, and he will say, and he will tell to himself and say, okay, you see me, I believe in what Allah is saying. So let me prepare for that day, so that I will not be a victim to the persecution and the punishment on that day. So this is a ni'mat of Allah, that Allah is informing us of what's going to happen. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us about the grave. That is a great ni'mat, so that you and I will know what lies ahead for us in our grave. So that every day when we make dua, we will ask Allah to save us from the punishment of the grave. So that we will make such actions, such good actions, that will cause the answers to come on our tongues, and we will reply to the munkar and the nakir. So information about that world itself is a ni'mat. What about if a man doesn't know what's going to happen, and he lives a life of unmindfulness, and thus he goes in the grave, and he looks and he sees and he says, well, I didn't know about this. Had I known, I would have prepared it. So Allah is making us know about it. So this information is a very great ni'mat of Allah. So Allah says, how can you, human beings and jinnah, deny Allah? يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. The sinners, the transgressors, will be recognized by their marks. And this, as I said, will be their marks. Black faces, yellow eyes, horrible, sad, grieved. They will be recognized by their marks. فَيُوْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. And they will be seized by their foreheads and their feet. When they will come out, the Quran says they will be seized, they shall be seized by their forehead and by their feet. It is stated when they shall come out, the angels will pick them up. Two different commentaries. One is that some people, the angels will hold them by their hair at the forehead and throw them in the fire of hell. And some angels will hold other people by their feet, drag them on the ground and throw them on the fire of hell. And another commentary is that the angels will grab them by the two places, hold them by the forehead, by the feet, and throw them headlong into the fire of hell. Other parts of the Quran says that some of the unbelievers will be tied with chains on their feet, and they will be dragged on their faces, and they will be dragged into the fire of hell in that manner. So Allah says, for those people who disbelieve, this is what will happen to them. فَيُخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِ وَالْأَقْدَامِ, that they shall be seized by their foreheads and their feet. And this information also is a great ni'mat of Allah, so that you and I will live a life that we will not become sinners and we will not become transgressors. So Allah says, this is His ni'mat. Then do not deny His ni'mat. فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ, which of Allah's favors will you deny? He says, then for the unbelievers, when they are thrown in the fire of hell, the announcement will be made, and it shall be sent to the unbelievers, هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي يُكَذِّبُ بِهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, this is the Jahannam that the transgressors, the sinners, the unbelievers used to deny on the face of the earth. So, as حَسْرَةً عَلَيْهِمْ, for them to regret, Allah will throw them and then say, oh, you used to deny the same fire, but you are in the fire today. This is what you used to deny on the face of the earth. No taste of the fire. It's lawha, entering into the fire. Allah will say, you used to deny this fire. You thought that there is nothing like fire. You thought the end of life was when you die. You thought that was the end of life. There is no resurrection. There is no judgment. There is no reckoning. Allah will say to them, هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي يُكَذِّبُ بِهَا الْمُجْرِبُونَ, this is the Jahannam. This is the fire of hell, which the unbelievers, they used to deny. يَطُوفُونَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ آن, they will wander around fire of Jahannam. They will move around the fire of Jahannam. وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ آن, and sometimes they will wander around the hot boiling water. So the commentary, the tafsir of this ayah, it says that sometimes they will be thrown, they will be in the fire of hell moving about. They cannot die. The Quran says that they see death.